The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Thank you to that special announcer that just let me right in there. That's our producer, Jay Foss, who lets us say thank you to all of you for listening to the show. We've got Thanksgiving coming up this very Thursday. So hope you're all having a great day. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is just a little bit, maybe a minute or two past 8 o'clock. I really can't find a clock here in the studio. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're up bright and early. And guess what? Today, I actually know the election results. When you tuned in last Sunday, I was actually taping the show, and I made that very clear on my show last Sunday that I was taping the show on Tuesday, election day. So I had no idea, though I had some predictions. I had some really good guesses on who was going to win and how the outcomes were going to go, and boy, was I wrong. So I'm so glad that I did not make some forecasts on Tuesday and just let the show run on Sunday, because boy, what I think many people were very surprised. Certainly in the state of Massachusetts, we got a lesson taught to us that, you know what, and I think I've said this before, what happens in our neighborhood isn't necessarily how things work in everybody else's neighborhoods around the world. And certainly around this country, I think we take for granted so often how fortunate our life is, our lifestyles are, the world in which we live in, how we get to the type of work we have, the way we're able to go out to eat, the comforts and the conveniences that we have. And we totally and completely forget about. Actually, it's not that we forget about it. We simply don't understand it and don't know what the middle of the country, and that middle of the country is pretty wide. I mean, imagine, I think someone, I saw an ad that, or a graphic that said, ask your kid to draw you what was done during the Louisiana Purchase, all of the land that was purchased during the Louisiana Purchase. And that basically covers pretty much from Louisiana up right along the Mississippi River, all the way over to pretty much where Denver, Colorado is, and down. That's the Louisiana Purchase. And that was pretty much red. It was pretty much red. And, you know, traditionally it has been a red area, meaning red, meaning Republican, blue being Democrat. But some of those fringe states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, they turned in favor of Donald Trump. And really, that's where the election was won. I mean, there was a lot of swing states. And I think the polls led us to believe that many of the swing states, some would go to Trump, some would go to Clinton. And so it was a pretty much of a fait accompli for Clinton. But as you watch, and I remember tweeting and also posting on my Facebook page, as I sat and watched with my kids the election results, flipping back and forth from station to station, watching the change in attitude, change in demeanor, the color in people's faces, depending upon which network you represented. The elation that you would see through the eyes of folks on Fox News and the pale white face that appeared on Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. It was shocking, I think, to everybody, whether you were on the winning side or the losing side. What does that mean for us moving forward? Well, who knows? But, you know, all the protests and all the challenges and all the yelling and all the screaming and all the guessing of what's going to happen, all of that's noise. You know what, folks? There are things we have to focus on controlling. And one of the things we can't control any longer is the outcome of the election, whether you like it or not. And, you know, it doesn't matter which way I voted. I will tell you, I found it fascinating when I've talked to a lot of our clients in the past couple weeks about how they voted. Look, we have 450 households we serve. If it's probably as close as what the election was, 50-50. It really, really was. Now, that's not how the state of Massachusetts voted, for sure. But yeah, I mean, the people that work in our office, I mean, not work in our office, that are clients of our office, I would say the vote went right down the middle. It really did. And I always find it fascinating that you have a Democratic and Republican candidate. And no matter what the story. I mean, the results are always so close. No one wins 80-20. No one wins 90-10. It's, you know, 46.4 to 46.1. Now, there's a lot of people that are arguing, well, you know, Hillary Clinton may have won the popular vote, but the electoral vote leans in Donald Trump's favor. You know, we've had that discussion before, and I can see both sides for the argument of electoral college and populist vote. But here's the thing that I've never understood. I've never understood this. When I went to elementary school and we had to learn about majority and minority, majority meant you needed to have 50% or more to win. That was the majority. But isn't it interesting that in elections, we're allowed to call the majority by simply the person that received the most number of votes? Because none of the candidates got 50%. Not a one. So, you know, before we start arguing on electoral college and populist vote, I'd be one that votes in favor of, you know what, if we can't get to 50%, well, then we knock off the bottom candidates and we redo the election, say, 6 weeks later. We need a 50% majority. Isn't that what democracy is all about? Isn't democracy all about getting the majority? And when I went to school, how do you tell your kids, oh, you know, 50%, you know, we're trying to get the majority. When you're having a vote in class, when you're having a, everyone raises your hand, what do you think? Is this pretty or ugly? Is this tall or fat? Is the answer number four or number five, you know, whatever it is, when there is actually a perspective that people have to offer up, you don't get an answer until there's a majority. And we never saw a majority win in the election. I find that interesting. And interestingly, that isn't what's being discussed. People are arguing over who won the popular vote and who won the electoral vote. Well, look, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. The election is over. I think the way that Hillary Clinton presented herself the day after the election was incredibly brave. She had, you know, she had a tough run, and she went walking into this election, I think, feeling pretty good about what the outcome was going to be. And she held her head up high. She represented herself well. She represented all of the constituents that voted with her. And she conceded. And she said, you know what? We are America, and we need to let Donald Trump run this country with his team in the way that he sees fit. Now, there's a few things that are going to change. And a few things that are going to change that we can't control right now. Some of the things that are going to change is the type of leadership that's going to be coming out of Washington. The Washington leadership, the cabinet that we know, is not going to be run as it has been in the past by government insiders. I mean, just take a look at the cabinet that is being built right now. And everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got an opinion about whether this person is racist, or this person has said something, or this person isn't a good fit, or this person doesn't represent my views. You know, these are all opinions. And the media leads us to believe a lot of these opinions, because how many times have you heard about a particular person? Let's call it, I don't know, use David Ortiz as an example. We've all heard of David Ortiz. Everyone knows who he is. But not us. How many of us really know David Ortiz? None of us do. And yeah, even if you were to go to a fundraising event and David Ortiz stood up on the podium up there and offered a presentation to the 5,000 or 500 people in the audience, do you know David Ortiz? No, you really don't. But we each make an opinion of David Ortiz, don't we? But you know what? It's not that crowd of people that David Ortiz is worried about. David Ortiz takes care of himself. And he wants to show you, if you want to meet the real David Ortiz, go for dinner with him. Have coffee with him. Challenge him to some questions. Sit down in a room with him. But you can't. You can't get that close to David Ortiz unless you know him personally. And neither can you do that with any of the candidates. Look, even when Trump and Hillary Clinton were out on the campaign trail, and they stopped in and they shook your hand, maybe perhaps at a breakfast place or a little cafe somewhere, did you really get to know them? No, they were just doing their job. They're trying to collect as many votes as they could. Can you assess whether Donald Trump can run a good business based upon what the media says he can do and how you've seen his presentations that he's been from the podium? No, you have no idea. Yes, I will agree that Donald Trump rambles. He rambles. He doesn't make any sense a lot of times from the things that he offers up. And I suspect he will have a set of advisors that will help him with that. Did you all know that Barack Obama was a smoker? And a pretty heavy smoker. But did you ever see Barack Obama smoke over the 8 years in his presidency? No. But he smokes. Look, what you see and what really happens are two different things. Perception and reality. That's what I call it. But right now, as we begin to, as we plan and we prepare for, actually, with the election being over, it's all about what we call optics. That's perception versus reality. Optics. How are we making things appear to be true? And we all make our own opinions. And right, wrong, or indifferent, there are certain things we can't control. And the fact that Donald Trump won this election is beyond our control. The fact that the state of Massachusetts approved the legal use of marijuana is now beyond our control. Interesting, there were, I think, four or five states, including California, that approved it, as did Massachusetts. Did you know that the state of Arizona voted no? So it'll be interesting how all of these things change. Folks, we got a lot of things that we can do to make America better, for sure, absolutely. But there's a lot of things that are great about America, too. I think we each love living here. And you know what? I think the celebrities who threatened that they said, if Donald Trump wins this election, I'm moving out. Have you seen any of them getting a ticket at the airport, preparing their passport, and heading out? No. So I'd be more mad at them because they were lying to us. They were the ones that were trying to influence your decision to scare the wits out of you. Maybe we needed to make more informed decisions on our own. Maybe we needed more people to get out and vote. Whatever it was, the representation that we had in this election is the representation that led to the outcome of this election. And we will deal with it. And it is what it is. And it could be a good thing, could be a challenging thing. Who knows? And I'll let you know more about it when we get back. I got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.5.
Hi, Robert Strauss here from the Curtain Shop of Gloucester. Show off your home this holiday season during the Hunter Douglas Seasons of Style Savings event. Save with valuable rebates on select Hunter Douglas window fashions. We are your expert for custom window treatments, specializing in motorized and manual blinds, shades, shutters, draperies, and awnings. Since 1951, the Curtain Shop has been helping residents of the North Shore and beyond properly cover your windows. From design to measuring to installation, we do it all. Call us today at 978-283-0555 or stop by at 136 Main Street in Gloucester.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million.
You know, $1 million doesn't buy what it used to. Maybe it need $1 billion. And actually several billion. We got a billionaire in the White House coming soon. A billionaire. Now, you know, what do you do with $1 billion? I don't know. You know, interesting, we're talking about $1 billion. I actually had dinner Wednesday night with a billionaire. I was at the Capitol Grill Wednesday night, and I was invited to a private dinner with Ron Barron. Ron Barron runs the Barron Group of Mutual Funds. There were 14 of us for dinner, and man, what an interesting guy. I mean, he was telling stories. He just engaged this group of people. He was out, you know, talking about his investment strategies and everything all day long. And I was honored to be invited to be part of this very, very small group at the Capitol Grill in Boston. And Ron's just telling us stories. I mean, things about how his company goes about buying stocks, selecting stocks, selling stocks. You know, he certainly wasn't going to get into the election too much. In fact, he did make it very clear. I mean, he made it clear at a conference that I was at with him about a month or two ago that he was strongly in the Hillary Clinton camp. Yet, he said, you know, even with the outcome that we have, he says, you know, the rioting and the protesting and all that kind of stuff is just insane right now. You want to protest peacefully, that's one thing. But blocking traffic, getting in people's ways, being obstructive, all that, that's not a civil protest. But what he did say, some of the things that we can expect that will come, he thinks, positively from this Trump election. And if these things positively work, believe it or not, Donald Trump could be viewed as a very positive president over the next 4 years. People have to give them a chance. People have to stop crushing and stepping on everything that the media spills out to say this was the wrong way to do this. I oftentimes think that if you don't like a candidate, if you don't like a person, if you don't like a friend that your kids have, it doesn't matter what they say, you're going to find something wrong with what they say. You're going to think they're not telling the truth. I got to read between the lines. We got to stop doing that. And I think it's so interesting that half of our population seems to think, well, you know, we're the non-judgmental group. We don't judge anybody. Folks, everybody judges everybody. And if we're too scared to admit that, we're lying to ourselves. We all judge and make judgment calls every single day. But I'll tell you this. So what Ron Barron was telling us at dinner on Wednesday night was he said if Donald Trump, and he thinks he's really going to push hard for this, if this infrastructure program that he wants to put into place can come to fruition, and there's a very good possibility that it could, to be able to replace our roads, our bridges, our airports would really be remarkable. He said, his comment, he says, I feel like when I go into LaGuardia Airport, Ron lives in New York, he says, I feel like I'm in Bangladesh when I go into LaGuardia Airport. He says, you know, I travel to Singapore. He travels all around the world and goes to some beautiful airports all around the country. And LaGuardia Airport, one of the key airports in New York. And he says, I feel like I'm in a third world country there. It's so out of date. And yes, there is a rebuild project going on at LaGuardia right now. But we need to do that with a lot of our airports, with a lot of our railway systems, improving the railway systems, improving our roads, our bridges. Do you realize how many people it takes to make that happen? And we've got a lot of people out of work and a lot of people that haven't seen a wage increase in almost 15 years. Think about this. This is one of the reasons why Donald Trump won an election. And it was something that you and I perhaps never even considered. I want you to think to yourself, could you imagine if you were an hourly worker, not a salaried employee? Let's say you're an hourly employee. Imagine making the same amount of money for the past 15 years. Imagine making the same amount of money for the past 15 years while all the cost of goods and everything went up. That's what's basically happened in the middle part of this country. Because you had a choice. You could either take the layoff, get fired, or take a cut in pay. And most people said, I need the job. I need to work. I'll have to change my lifestyle. And we forget about how powerful or how important the fabric of the middle part of this country is. They provide us with all the food we eat, a lot of the food we eat. A lot of the transportation needs to come out of that area. A lot of the mining that comes from that area. There's a lot of stuff that comes from the middle of our country, and we take it for granted. Look, when you're flying on an airplane, flying from Boston over to California, and you look outside the window and you go, wow, there's a lot of nothingness out there. All you see is a bunch of squares and circles, right? That's all it is, just for as far as your eye can see, squares and circles. Well, if you landed that plane, they just don't look like squares and circles anymore. They are the bounty and the harvest that comes to our houses and into our homes, and we'll need them for Thanksgiving, and we need them all year round. But we don't see it from that perspective looking up. The other thing we don't see from that perspective looking up is the hills and the bumps along the way. Look, basically, you can look out as you're flying on an airplane, and you're looking down Route 66 from the air, and it is just a long, long, straight road. You don't see a bump in the way. You don't really even see any turns that you might have to deal with. But that's kind of like investing. If you were to focus on just all of the bumps and the turns and everything that goes along the way, you'll get sick to your stomach. You'll want to make changes. You'll think that maybe we'll approach this differently. But from the air, everything looks smooth sailing. Well, oftentimes people will use the ocean as an example. If you're out in a boat, you know how sick you can get by just staring at the waves over the side of the boat. But if you look out to the horizon, all seems well, doesn't it? And that's what we have to continue to focus on with our investing dollars. Look, this market has been a little volatile over the past few weeks. And what's interesting, it's been volatile in just the opposite way people thought it was going to be volatile. In the days and weeks, actually, especially the days and the weekend leading up to the election, the stock market had 5 or 6 consistent down days, all with worries that Donald Trump just might win this election. People, because the whole email thing resurfaced again, and people thought, wow, is Hillary Clinton in trouble? And people worried, wow, maybe Trump has a chance. And then when the email thing went away on Sunday,
people thought, well, we got nothing to worry about. Hillary is a shoo-in. And sure enough, the market went up very well on Monday. And there we headed into Tuesday, and the market still was kind of stabilizing but doing okay. They began this continued comfort. In fact, I remember listening to Hillary Clinton on another radio station. I think it was Tuesday morning. It was election morning. I was driving my kids to school, and they listened to a different station than I do. I can't believe they don't listen to this station all day long. And actually, well, you know him. Who's Billy Costa was on the radio, and he was talking to Hillary. I think he and Maddie were talking to Hillary, and they were asking her if she's preparing the drapes, thinking about the designs. And she wasn't getting into that, but she was very insistent on trying to come up with the proper name for her husband, Bill Clinton, if she were elected. She says, yeah, we've been talking about what will be the proper name. He would be known as the First Gentleman. So you could already tell she's having this conversation. She assumed this thing was done. And then came election day, election night. And we all sat by our televisions, and around 8 o'clock or so, as the polls closed, we began to watch. And you know, Trump got the lead in a few key states that you thought he was going to win. And then Hillary won her thing, and it went back and forth. But all of a sudden, around 10 o'clock or so, you thought, Florida's not going in the way Hillary wanted. Ohio's not going in the way Hillary wanted. Even though Pennsylvania wasn't called for a long time, it wasn't going in that direction. And as those, I think something's going fishy here, as that was happening, I follow the futures. What are the futures are the futures of what the markets believe and how they will open the next morning. And all of a sudden, as Trump won Florida, the futures were showing that they were going to open down around 200 or 300 points. Then as Iowa started to be won by Trump, it dropped to 500. And around 1:30 in the morning, the market was down 900 points on the futures. 900 points. And I tweeted out that, man, this would be a great buying opportunity, because no matter what, even if the market goes down, America works through these things. This is not an end of the world situation. The market works through these things. What a great buying opportunity it will be if you can stomach the drop when the market opens on Wednesday morning. Well, I fell asleep around, it must have been 2:30. I just saw, I think it was Podesta came to the stage and announced, it told everybody at the Javits Center to go home. We deal with this tomorrow. And that's about the time I turned off the TV. I knew that once Trump was expected to be the winner, it was still going to be another hour before he was going to approach the mic. And I figured, man, I'm in for a long day on Wednesday, especially with this market hovering potentially to open down 900 points. I have to go to sleep. So I fell asleep, woke up Wednesday morning. I'm up around 6 o'clock or so. I look at the futures again, and the futures have adjusted a little bit. They're now down about 350 points. So they've come back, but still 350 points would have only taken us back to Monday afternoon of that week, by the way, just so you know that. And we went into the office. I got to my office and we thought, oh man, the phone's going to start ringing. There was one person who had left a message at 5:30 in the morning on my voicemail. And she said, Mark, I'm scared. She says, I don't know why. She says, I'm scared because my daughter is scared. My daughter was a huge Hillary Clinton supporter. And she told me basically that the world is coming to an end and that I need to get my money out of the stock market. I need to take my money out of cash. I shouldn't be in bonds. I shouldn't be buying anything. And she really, really scared me. What should I do? And so I called her back around 8 o'clock, told her where we were. Now the market around 8 o'clock now was only expected to open down around 250 points. And I told her, I thought it was a little ridiculous to make a move. You don't make moves when you're being irrational. You have to be rational in your approach. And that's one of the things that I gave great credit to my office for, is we have always been known to be rational during emotional times. So I thought to myself, okay, now how am I going to do this? We got to open up. The market's going to open. Yeah, the phones will ring a little bit in my office, but I also have to get a communication out to all of my clients to let them know what happened. So what I thought I would do is I am going to read you the letter that I sent to my clients that went out at 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday morning. It says, by now you know that Donald Trump has been selected as the 45th president of the United States of America. For many, this announcement comes as a shock, and for others, it's a victory. Nevertheless, the Electoral College has spoken, and America will prepare for a shift in power in Washington. If you're like me, you stayed up very late to watch the election results, and in doing so, you watched market speculation in real time. In fact, the Dow Jones Industrial Average suggested that it could open down as much as 800 plus points this morning. This was driven by the shock and awe that many investors hadn't expected. But anxious minds, they slept on it. And a realization emerged that America would certainly survive. While no one knows what the next 4 years will hold, or the next few days for that matter, following this election, you need to know this. Number one, the sun will come up tomorrow, and America will remain a powerful economic power. Number two, corporate America has survived many changes in White House leadership over the past several decades. Over time, they've all led to a stronger economy and a higher U.S. stock market. Number three, we've underestimated the voice and the values of a large segment of Americans whose lifestyle and views of the world may be different from our own. Number four, markets will always be volatile. A 5 to 10% correction could happen at any time, regardless of who won this election. And number five, we're not likely to have gridlock any longer. The Republicans now have control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. Expect change. America voted for change. And now our elected officials must prioritize what's important and get something done. So as you put your head on your pillow tonight, know that Marion, my business partner, and I are carefully monitoring the election results, the markets, and your individual financial plan. There is no need to panic. Chances are that we'll likely find buying opportunities in the days and weeks to come, yet we'll be rational and not emotional in our decisions. Placing your interests first is paramount to helping you achieve your personal financial goals and objectives. Today, our advice to you, and this is on Wednesday morning following the election, is to view today as business as usual. Go to work, spend as usual, enjoy the company of friends and colleagues, hug your family, and revel in the democratic process. I'm going to leave you with that as we head off to a break. We'll be back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run.
Since 1989, more than a million New Englanders have come to Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater to listen for those two wonderful words that mean Christmas is here.
Bah, humbug.
Join Ebenezer Scrooge, Tiny Tim, and the area's largest cast of actors, singers, and revelers for the 26th annual production of A Christmas Carol. In this lavish musical adaptation of the Charles Dickens classic, you'll see Victorian England come to vibrant life accompanied by a live orchestra and a dazzling array of ghostly special effects. See the show the Boston Globe has called flawless and spellbinding for all ages. North Shore Music Theater's production of A Christmas Carol plays from December 9th through December 23rd. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by ASR Roofing.
Are you facing critical decisions that could impact your retirement income? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial, and since 1968, we've been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment advice to individuals residing on the North Shore and throughout the Merrimack Valley. We can help you plan for the retirement of your dreams. Call me today at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Wow, there's a little shock to my system. I wasn't expecting the music to come blaring in my ears, but I hope you're doing well. Hope you're awake. Hope you've had your coffee. And if that music came out as loud as it did in my ears, you're definitely awake, I assure you. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. And we are here providing financial advice in a language you can understand with our show, Dollars and Cents, which you can hear here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We concluded the last segment sharing a letter that I wrote to our clients on Wednesday morning following the election, just to try to give you some perspective of what we needed to do. The only thing that was wrong in my letter, I made a mistake in my letter, I realize, now that we are sitting here a week out. The letter that I sent said one thing: we will find buying opportunities in the next couple days. And I was wrong, because you know what? All the market did was go up when everybody expected the market to fall. We've had six consecutive days following the election where the market went on to reach an all-time high. The market had never hit this point, ever. Well, and yet many people thought that if Trump gets in office, wait for the market to crash. So I ask you this, what does it mean to crash? What does it mean to stumble? What does it mean to plummet? You know, the news will use those terms. Newspapers will use those terms. That will be the headlines that you'll see. Stock market plummets today. Now, when I hear the word plummet, I would think drops 25, 40%. When something plummets, they're actually using the word plummet when something drops 2%. They use the word plummet, shock to the system or whatever, 2%. That justifies the word plummet. I think that's irresponsible of the media. I really do. And it's what's gotten everybody so worked out about things. We didn't see markets soar. You know, if markets soared, I would expect 10, 15, 20% for it to soar. To go up 1 or 2%, that's not a soar. Yeah, well, there are some stocks that have soared. I'll tell you a stock that has soared lately. I don't know if you follow this. And honestly, I don't follow many stocks. That's not what we do in our office. I want to use mutual funds. I want to use exchange-traded funds. I want to use packaged products so that you have the risk minimized for your portfolio. But I'll tell you a stock that I thought was rather interesting to follow, and I've been following it for a few weeks now, is a stock that has the symbol C-A-R-A, CARA. It's CARA Pharmaceuticals, I believe, is the last part of the name. You know what they specialize in? Or one of the things they specialize in? Using medical marijuana for the purposes of pain relief. And I thought that if the states voted in favor of the, you know, the ability to use medical marijuana, or be able to use marijuana in these states, that company may benefit. And sure enough, it has. But it's been very volatile. And one of the things about this company, Cara Pharmaceuticals, or Cara something, is that they all, therapeutics, Cara something, they, is it Cara Pharmaceuticals? It's Cara Therapeutics. Yeah, that's why I have a producer. I get the back of a monitor. He gets to stare at this himself. And what they do is they focus on a lot of pain relief medications. They create different types of medicines for pain relief services. One of them is the incorporation of marijuana as part of its usage. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. It's an interesting new trend, a new sector in the markets that may be a popular one. Another one that I think has tremendous potential, as did Ron Barron, as I sat with him and talked with him on Wednesday. He loves Tesla. Now, many people will say, well, you know, I love Tesla too, but who wants to pay $210 or $189 a share for the stock? Well, he doesn't care about that. Ron was telling us that his average price for the fund, owning Tesla is around $200 a share. And he says, yeah, we have 3 or 4 million shares. 3 or 4 million shares. You know, I'm thinking to myself, this is a guy that actually needs to understand what he's buying if he's willing to spend for 3 to 4 million shares. Take that. Take 3 million and then add 2 zeros to that number, because remember, the stock's selling at about $189 a share. So some interesting things. I think what's going to be interesting as we begin to move forward with this, with the results of the election, as we need to continue to see how America will change over the year to come and how it will impact your portfolio, it will be interesting to see what sectors thrive. Think about this. If you really want to consider what sectors could benefit in an infrastructure economy, and that's something that Donald Trump is likely to put into his plan for the upcoming few years, think about companies that heavy machinery companies. Think about steel companies. Think about Caterpillar. Think about companies that are going to continue to have to hire more people to build. I mean, what are the materials? You know, people might think, well, the train railways might do better. Airlines might do better. Well, no, they're not going to do better yet. It's the companies that provide the resources to these places for infrastructure. I don't even know the name of the company, but have you ever been lately to some of these parking lots when you drive into the parking lot and you look up and there's either red lights and green lights all over the place so that you can see as you're driving into the parking lot where the empty spaces are? They have these little sensors at the back end of each space, and they're high up in the air. You know, you'll drive up to, say, level 2, and it says 432 spaces, 70 available. Okay, you've seen that. You see that right now, like at Logan right now. They have that. Logan hasn't installed the light systems. If you're at Disney World, they have that in these new parking lots that they have right now. It is the coolest thing. You don't have to wonder, you know, should I keep going up and down all these aisles trying to find a space? You don't have to look trying to see if I see an open shadow on the parking, you know, on the parking lot. You look up and you can see all the green lights and you just head to a green light and that's where there's an open space. That simple. I'd be interested because if we're going to build more parking garages, if we're going to build more roadways, if we need more railroad ties, if we need more spikes to put down for, I don't know, whatever it is. If you want to play that game, that's what I would be looking for. Look for the companies that contribute, that big companies like Caterpillars have to buy so that they can do their job better. Now, honestly, if it's me, I don't have the ability to do that. And chances are you probably don't either. But you know who does? Portfolio managers of mutual funds. That's what they do. They're trying to discover the stuff that is yet to even be considered. I heard a story about how Under Armour, if you've ever invested in Under Armour, everybody knows what Under Armour is now. 20 years ago, you didn't know what Under Armour was, right? But how did Under Armour become such a popular stock for so many portfolio managers in their funds? Interesting story. Ron shared this story on Wednesday. Ron Barron, I'm talking about, who's the portfolio manager of the Barron Growth Fund, and had dinner with him on Wednesday night. And he was saying the way that he discovered Under Armour as a small company was he had an investment in Dick's Sporting Goods. And that investment was working well with him. He was talking to the CEO and other managers over at Dick's Sporting Goods. And he says, you know, of all the companies that you're working with, all the retailers that you're selling for, who do you think has it right? Where do you see the trends coming from? And he says, this guy, Kevin Plank, over at Under Armour, and it was a little segment, a little section of Dick's Sporting Goods. He says, he's got something special about him. He understands where he wants to go. He understands how to manage businesses. And so Ron went and talked to Kevin. And he made an investment there, as did many other portfolio managers. Now, I'm not recommending that you buy any of these stocks. I'm really, really not. Because as you well know on this radio station, I do not recommend that anybody buy individual stocks. Let the portfolio managers buy it. But understand the analysis and the time and the effort that's required of these portfolio managers to put stocks in their portfolios. They're not buying 100 shares. They're not even buying 100,000 shares. They're buying a million shares. A million shares or more. And they're doing it with a strategy. They don't simply say, okay, we're going to buy a million shares today. They might buy 100,000 now, and they're going to set a series of prices. Whether the stock goes up or whether it goes down, they're going to buy it at those different intervals so that they can get an average cost. But you know what they also have? Every portfolio manager has at every mutual fund company? A sell discipline. That's one of the things that you and I do not have. As an individual person, we've bought investments, but we never thought, okay, what's our sell discipline? If it drops 15%, am I going to sell it? If it goes up 25%, am I going to sell it? And all of a sudden, let's say it goes up there and then you change your mind. What kind of sell discipline did you really have? That's where professional money management comes into play. And in a world today where there's so many things changing, who knows what the next leading technology will be? I assure you, the next leading technology will not be Apple. It's not going to be Apple. Apple owns the world, right? You can't double and triple your size of Apple if you're as big as you are right now. So who will come and take market share away from Apple? Those are the companies you might want to talk to. Those are the companies that portfolio managers are thinking about. Who's going to be there to compete with Amazon? Look, you know what's really interesting? Actually, over the past week or so, as the market has soared, do you know there are four stocks that have been killed late? Well, I say killed, and that's probably an extreme term too, because killed meaning they dropped 5 to 8% over the past week. So not really killed, but they've been impacted, probably a better word. And they've actually been so impacted that had they done better, the markets would be in the 20,000 range right now. The Dow would be up at 20,000. But because of these four stocks going negative over the past 10 days, you don't know about it because you're just seeing the markets go up without these four stocks. And they were oftentimes referred to as the FANG stocks. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. The FANG stocks. Those four stocks have been impacted. Why? I don't know. Do I know why stocks go up or why go down? No, and neither do you. None of us know. It's pure speculation. Because remember, markets move on perception. When you see the market is up today, The market is going up today because people believe, more people believe that the stock market's going to be higher in the next few days or for the companies that are going up than it will be going the other direction. It's all about perception. And the markets, prior to this election, people were worried about the uncertainty. And then there's uncertainty, there's volatility. But look, things are pretty clear right now. Donald Trump is president, is going to be president. He's got president-elect right now. So we don't have to worry about what's going to happen in Washington right now because he's in a, you know, he hasn't even been inaugurated yet, but there's this honeymoon period where everybody's playing nice. Everybody wants to show everybody how all the toys work. I'll tell you, if you want to watch something that's funny, I don't know if you get Facebook or not, but if you've seen the Obama, Biden, what do they call it? Memes, M-E-M-E, they are absolutely hilarious. They just go on and on. People are just drawing. They have a picture, for instance, of Donald Trump and Joe Biden in some kind of a setting, and then someone throws a caption up along next to it. Some of this stuff is hilarious. It's all taken in good spirit and good fun. I would encourage you to Google Biden Obama memes, M-E-M-E-S, and you'll laugh. You'll laugh really hard. So one of the things that is interesting, though, with as we begin to think about the future, think about your investing plans for the next 5 years, 10 years. So know this, that if you're worried about the market going down in the next year or so, if you're worried about the market going down in the next year, but you think that the market's going to be higher 5 to 10 years from now, don't sell. Why would you sell if you think the market will be higher 5 years, 10 years from now, just because you think the market might drop in the short term? Remember, we do not have good sell and buy disciplines. If the market drops 10%, do you sell then when you're down? Then when do you know when do you get back in? I tell this story all the time of folks in 2008. It was October 2008. It was actually Columbus Day weekend. The market had already dropped 2,000 points. 2,000 points in October, heading into Columbus Day weekend. I was flying into Orlando that day. The market was down 900 more points that morning. And people were scared. We had the debt crisis. We had all sorts of problems going on. And the market drops another 900 points. I land in Florida. People are calling my office like crazy. Marion is back at the office, and she calls me. She says, Mark, I've never done this before, but you're going to have to take some of these calls. We are just overwhelmed with phone calls that we're getting. So I set up shop in my hotel room. The kids went off to the park with my wife, and I answered calls and talked to a lot of people, probably 80 calls that day. And there was probably 20 people that day that said, Mark, I can't sleep well at night. I need to get out. And we did our best to try to talk them out of it because, you know, it was being an emotional decision. We needed to stay rational. But if they were going to lose sleep at night, I was selling them out. So I sold them out. Did you know that next Monday, by the way, when the market reopened, the market opened up another 900 points that next Monday. And so come Wednesday, Thursday, I start getting phone calls from all of these folks that sold out. And they call and they say, I got a problem. He said, I thought I would feel better by selling out. The reality is I feel worse. Because it's worse trying to figure out when to get back. And that is a lesson that I will always remember. All of the folks that got back, the 40-some-odd people of our 450 households that sold out that day, more than 20 of them got back in within 4 days. Another 10 got back in within a month. And the other 10 have just continued to leave their money in cash. And look how much they've missed out on. So I would encourage you, don't try to guess what this market's going to do. We have no idea. What I do know is that I need to. We will be back in just a couple minutes. I got something I want to share with you. It's called Work Part-Time at These 10 Companies. You're going to get some amazing benefits. Great story to share. We'll be back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Freedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Do you ever ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Don't have enough time to go to the gym? Grab your phone and download BenchBro, the hottest finger-tapping fitness app.
With BenchBro, you'll test your reflexes, your concentration, and your finger-tapping skills as BenchBro helps you achieve your virtual dream physique.
This is a fitness resolution you can finally keep. Download our free app, BenchBro, today.
BenchBro.
Available on the App Store
and Google Play.
No membership required.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right near the North Shore Mall. If you're listening to this show, hopefully you're getting ready for the kids to come home, getting ready to... Remember, if you bought a turkey, take it out of the freezer. It needs to thaw out for a couple days. We have made that mistake a few times. I don't know if you're planning on frying a turkey. If you haven't done that before, we started doing it a couple years ago. It is awesome, and you can cook like an 18-pound turkey in 45 minutes. It is really, really, really cool. We're going to try some new dishes this year. I got my brother-in-law coming in. He is from India, so we're making some special Indian dishes for him. We got all sorts of stuff going. I mean, I love Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays. I actually wish we had more people coming to the house, but we'll have, I think, 22 people coming to our house this year. Usually it's something like 30 plus. But it's great, and I hope you're looking forward to a great Thanksgiving with your family. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And then get ready, because come Friday, some of these radio stations go all Christmas. Now, I'm looking at my producer as I'm doing this. We're not going all Christmas, are we, Jay? No, thank God we're not going all Christmas.
There will be Christmas songs, but not all Christmas.
Thank God. I mean, it's insane. I mean, I didn't realize that there was enough Christmas songs to actually run 24/7 every single day. So, no, it's great. North Shore 104.9 will just pepper you with a little bit of holiday magic and holiday music. But you'll always get all of your favorites from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And what a great station. I love listening to the station, and I'm glad that you're tuning in today to Dollars and Cents. As like I said, I'm here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. And I've run a financial planning company in Peabody. My father started in 1968. I joined him in 1991. In April of 2018, we're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary. It's amazing to me how many families, how many friends and neighbors, people here in the community have all come in to see us. We continue to pick up new business. We actually refer business out if it's not a good fit also. So if you'd like to get serious about your financial plan, if you'd like to get financial advice in a language you can understand that covers everything about your financial life, if you want somebody who's dedicated, absolutely sincerely dedicated to placing your interests first, to being fully transparent and telling you, here's what it's going to cost, here's how this is going to work, and showing you how it impacts everything that you do in your financial life, let us talk to you. Phone number at my office is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I'm not in the office today, nor is my assistant Jody, nor is anybody else from my office. But if you'd like to leave a message for us, we will get back to you, schedule some time to have you come in for a free initial consultation, or call us on Monday if you'd like. Also, if you would like to sign up for our free weekly newsletter, it's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website. Hit the button that says Sign Up for Planning Pointers. You'll hit the button. A little window will pop up. You put in your email address. Let us know how you heard about you, how you heard about us, actually, and we'll get you on that newsletter list. And, of course, the one thing that I always tell people to do, take down my email address. If all of a sudden you're at a cocktail party this week, if you're having this fight around the Thanksgiving Day table and you can't agree on what the right answer is to something and you want an opinion, Really, I answer my emails 24/7. It's the last thing I do before I go to sleep and the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning. My email address is Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. Send me an email if you'd like. All right. One of the things that we see, because many of our clients are either approaching retirement or they're in retirement, is they embark on this retirement venture. They've left their company. They've been home for about now 6 months, a year without work. And as excited as they were about retiring, they begin to realize, I'm kind of bored. I did all the stuff that was on my, you know, my to-do list. Yeah, I can travel periodically. I love seeing the grandkids, but I got to do something more. You know, periodically, I'll go back to the office, the old office, to see what's going on there. And they survived without me. There's new faces there, people I don't even remember. Everyone's busy. I want to do something. I need that social interaction. I don't need to be back with the same guys or women that I worked with at my old place, but I do need to interact with folks. But I don't want to work full time. I don't want to give the big commitment. I want the flexibility. Well, recently, a website called The Penny Hoarder, The Penny, PennyHoarder.com, The Penny Hoarder, posted a blog. And I follow The Penny Hoarder, and I follow a lot of blogs. I do a ton of reading in this business. But she posted this. Lisa Rowan, who wrote the piece, wrote how you can work part-time at these 10 companies, and you're going to get some amazing benefits. So I thought I'd share with you some of these benefits and who some of these companies are. I actually included this story in this week's issue of my newsletter as well. So if you'd like the full story, you want to get all of it, let Jody know and at my office, and she will send you a link to last week's newsletter. So company number one that you could work at on a part-time basis is Avis Budget Rent-A-Car. Part-time sales associates, vehicle technicians, and more are eligible for 401ks after 1,000 hours of service. After 90 days of service, they have access to an employee stock purchase plan. These are some of the benefits you get for working. I mean, think about, what is 1,000 hours of service? 1,000. Think about 2,000 hours of service means that you're generally a full-time employee. You work 40 hours a week for 50 weeks. If you work 20 hours a week, that's 1,000 hours over the course of a year. But just after 90 days of service, let's say you're even working 15 hours a week. After 90 days, you can participate in the employee stock purchase plan. There's also provided to everybody an employee assistance program available to help with confidential matters and a discount, of course, on the purchase of former rental vehicles. Let's see, not another one here. Barnes & Noble. You can work Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble employees, even part-time, receive 1 week of paid vacation per year after just working 6 months for the company. After working at Barnes & Noble for 1 year, you earn at least 2 weeks of paid vacation. The bookstore offers basic life insurance to all its employees with the option of coverage of 1, 2, or 3 times your annual earnings. Coverage for your partner and children is available as well. This is all part-time stuff. How about the Container Store? The Container Store provides access to paid time off, a 401k with an employer match, medical, dental, and vision plans for part-time employees. There's also an employee assistance program to provide confidential counseling and online corporate wellness. There's discounts on gym memberships. They even have pet insurance available. And the common law spouses are included in the same coverage. Costco's another one. Lowe's is another one. REI, Staples, U-Haul, UPS, Starbucks. They're all providing benefits for part-time employees. Something for you to consider if you say, you know what? I'd like to make a few extra bucks. I mean, you work part-time, maybe you can bring in an extra, I don't know, $1,000 a month working part-time. That's not such a bad deal. Think about how that adds to your ability to spend more money or give you some flexibility. And you get the social interaction that comes along with it. All right, we got a couple more minutes left in the show before we have to take a we have to head out for the day, actually, and make room for Billy Costa and make room for Aurelia Nelson and all the other great folks that are about to follow me. But I wanted to let you know about one thing that's coming up. Last year, we talked about it a lot. This year, it's not as big of an issue, but it is for some. It's this thing called capital gain distributions. It happens to people that invest in mutual funds that are in non-retirement accounts. What it is, it's a special dividend that gets paid in December. And you might think, special dividend? Well, that's great. Well, what that special dividend really is a
payout of all of the gains that the portfolio manager has earned by selling stocks in their portfolio and paying it out to you and make it taxable to you. Now, it might not sound like such a big deal, but it is taxable to you, and I would refrain from investing new money in any of the funds that I'm going to listen to you until after the first of the year, because who wants to put in $10,000 into an investment and all of a sudden find out that 30% of your investment, $3,000 of it, is subject to tax? You wouldn't want that. I know this is confusing, but I'm just going to throw out a few names. If you think you own any of these funds, contact your financial advisor, contact whoever it is that you're working with, and ask them about the implications of the big dividend that's about to come. The following four funds are expected to pay a 30% dividend, a 30% capital gain distributions. They are the Columbia Disciplined Small Core Fund, the Delaware SMID Cap Fund, the Transamerica Small Growth Fund, and the Victory Newbridge Large Cap. The following funds I'm going to read to you are going to pay 20%. This is a big deal. You don't want this. Aston Small Cap, Buffalo Small Cap, Columbia Acorn, Columbia Acorn USA, Dreyfus Small Cap Growth Fund, Vanguard Structured Broad Market Fund, Vanguard Structured Large Cap Equity Fund. There's more to come. Actually, if you go to this website, Cap Gains Valet, CapGains Valet, VALET.com, you can see this list as well. Find out whether that's impacting you. We want to provide you with financial advice that you can understand in a language that you can understand. But I got to get out of here and make room for everybody else. I'll see you next Sunday. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.